On stage waiting. Good. Punctuality is a great virtue in a young actor. Have you been here long?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was held up by the traffic. Never mind, you've had an opportunity to learn your lines properly, I hope. You were not exactly word perfect at yesterday's rehearsal.
No.
Well, it is rather an ordeal for a young actor like you to rehearse for the first time with Sir Ralph and Sir John, two great men of the theatre. That's why I asked you to come this morning, because I had the impression yesterday that you didn't really understand the play as a whole. I know you only come on in the first act, but I suppose you have read the play as a whole.
No.
No. A bad fault, young man. A play, thank God, is not one of your wretched movies. In the theatre, we respect the word and the writer of the word and the actor who interprets the word. I help to the best of my ability. But the actor is not a puppet as he is in the movies. You can't interpret the part without knowing the whole play. By the way, the play they're doing in this very theatre is by the same author as ours, Frederick Privet, and it's been running now for 6 months. I only hope our Privet does as well. An interesting, cluttered set, by the way. He didn't want the actors to move about too much between his lines. The play here is in Privet's staccato style. You understand me?
No.
In this play, he uses the very shortest sentences. Sometimes they are only one word long. In our play, it is not the sentence, but the pauses which count. I oughtn't to say this, but he has learned a lot from Mr. Pinter. Though he is not an imitator, mind you. His pauses are quite different from Pinter's. They are Privet pauses. You must study the pauses very carefully, even in a small part like yours. You do understand me, I hope.
Yes.
Good. Now, let's begin your scene. Now, don't look at your script. I'll prompt you if it's necessary.
Yes.
Well, go on, begin. This is not the moment for a pause.
Yes.
Don't keep saying yes, just begin.
Yes.
Don't say yes, please, begin. Oh, I'm sorry, of course. Yes, that is the first word of your scene. I'd forgotten you began that way. I'll read the other part. You, or rather Henry Hobbs, enters door left. Cummings, that is Sir Ralph, says to you, you have been a long time gone, and you reply quite correctly, yes, all the same, you really must study that yes. It's a defiant yes. Your yes is literally the beginning of the end of your relationship with Sir Ralph. I mean, Cummings, of course. You disappear completely after Act One. All the more reason to seize your opportunity. Now throw that yes right up to the gallery. They must hear it distinctly in the last row. Try again.
Yes!
That's a little better. Go on.
No.
What do you mean, no? Go on with the scene.
No.
Young man, I am the director. I order you to go on. Are you really refusing to go on? If you do, it will lose you your job of acting in a play with Sir Ralph and Sir John. I'll give you one more chance. Do you refuse to go on?
No.
I'm very glad for your sake. I don't like to see a young actor throwing away a great chance. Who knows? You might well one day be a theatrical knight yourself. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yes. Then we'll forget this little dispute. Go on with your part.
No.
I've never in 30 years as a director heard such impertinence. Are you ready to rehearse or not?
Yes.
Then go ahead or leave the theatre.
No.
Yes, I see you do say no. I'm sorry. Sir Ralph says to you, I suppose you never thought of the anxiety you were giving me when you didn't return in time for dinner, and you reply, no, that is quite correct. I misunderstood. I'm very sorry. All the same, I'd like you to practice that. No! It's got to reach the gallery, too. You are still defying Sir Ralph. And now, Sir John. Of course, I mean, Edward Cruikshank emerges slyly from the door, right? I'm happy to see that once again, he has broken up the relationship of his old friend Sir Ralph. That is to say, Cummings, you follow me?
Yes.
It's a very daring play. When I was young, nobody would have produced it. We could never have hoped to cast Sir John and Sir Ralph in a play of this kind 30 years ago. It would have been forbidden by the Lord Chamberlain. I don't suppose you've even heard of the Lord Chamberlain.
No.
I never met him myself. We always had to talk to a colonel in the guards. Oh, well.
Au triton. Au tenor.
You speak French.
Yes.
It's always a good thing for an actor to talk French. Not that it's much help in this play, except that it might prove useful in Act Two, when Cummings, Sir Ralph, has become attached to a French acrobat called René. Surely you've read the play that far.
No.
René has a much better part than yours. The beginning of an affair always contains more dialogue than the end. Perhaps I might get you to understudy René. If anything happens, anyone would be able to take your part. But if René fell ill, you would have a great opportunity. There is one scene of tremendous passion. When Sir John discovers René with Sir Ralph. I mean, of course, when Cummings discovers René with Cruikshank. As you were, Cruikshank discovers René with Cummings. Do you mean to say you haven't even glanced at Act Two?
No.
You must realize that if you're ever going to be a good actor, the importance of understanding a play as a whole. However few the words you have to speak in Act One, they have to fit into the frame of the whole play. You haven't read Act Two or Act Three, and that is why your yes was so feeble and your no lacked all authority. Now, don't let's get angry with each other. I want to help you. Now, let's sit down and relax. Have you seen this play at Privet's?
No.
I'll get you house seats. It's important you should realize what Privet was after. Now, in this play, in his staccato style, he is making a great satirical statement about the heterosexual world we most of us live in without realizing its falsity. In our play, the play of long pauses, he is making a great satirical statement about the homosexual world we most of us live in. Do you follow?
No.
Let me put it more simply. In this play, at this theatre, he expresses the betrayal inherent in any homosexual relationship. As you were, in any heterosexual relationship. And in our play, he exposes the betrayal at the heart of any homosexual relationship. You do follow?
Yes.
You've got to bear all that in mind when you say yes and no in this opening scene. Your yes has to be abrasive, and your no a little scornful. You know, it was suggested at one time that Privet should write in a part of Sir Michael in Act Three, but I argue that two theatrical nights would give the play dignity, but three might easily turn it into a sort of tournament. Tournaments were pretty rough. If one of the knights got knocked out, it would be very difficult to find a replacement. No one can really understudy one of the knights, not you and certainly not the French acrobat, don't you agree?
Yes.
Not that I underrate the importance of your minor role in this play. You know the old rhyme about the Battle of Waterloo? For want of a nail, the battle was lost. Think that you are a nail, an important, a vital nail. Now, with all this in mind, let's look at the scene again. Cruikshank interrupts in his sly, troublemaking way. He says, "You have better things to think about, I suspect," and you reply,
"Yes."
No! Here you have to make a long pause. You are deliberately insulting Sir Ralph. I mean, Cummings, it's the end of the affair. Try it again.
No!
Yes! Damn it! Can't understand why you aren't word perfect. You only have to say yes and no in the right order. Imagine the disaster if on a single occasion you said no instead of yes, or indeed yes instead of no. The whole meaning of the play is altered in a flash. An actor can trip up on a long speech and recover. He gains support from the context. But yes and no! These words have no context. They stand in their dignity and certitude alone. Sir John is expecting yes, and you say no. Sir John waits for his cue, and you say no instead of yes. What can they do? They will need time to recover. There will be a sickening pause. Not one of Privet's pauses. Now, try again and get it right. Remember, it's the end of the affair. Sir John says, "You have better things to think about, I suspect," and you reply,
"Yes."
More boldly.
Yes.
Better. You do understand, don't you, that I only want to help you. You have a lot of promise. Now, if I'd known you spoke French, I might have given you the part of René. French actors are so unreliable. Now, What happens after yes? Sir Ralph, Cummings, is touched by jealousy, as Sir John Crookshank intended, and he asks, what better things? Of course, you don't answer. You stand silent. Better stand up and we'll act this out together. We must get this scene right. A lot depends on it. I'll take Sir John's part and Sir Ralph's. I think he has been at the circus. The circus? Why the circus? There's a young French acrobat there called René. You have been to the circus, haven't you? Hops.
Yes.
A little bit more incisive.
Yes.
Bravo. We're getting somewhere. Now, Sir John, Cummings, no, it's Crookshank. You can't keep a young man in chains, Cyril. Sir Ralph, that's to say, Cyril, have you ever felt in chains, Henry?
Yes.
Isn't it no?
No.
You are right. It's yes, I see. It's yes. Say it quite calmly this time. Perhaps a touch of irony. Just a touch. No more. And cold, cold as ice. Have you ever felt in chains, Henry?
Yes.
Not half bad. But I have an idea. I think this is the moment for a pause. Privet hasn't mentioned a pause. It'll be a surprise for him. You see, you want to keep Sir Ralph on tenterhooks. He still wants you to stay. He hasn't yet met René. That plot has been laid in devilish secrecy by Sir John. It was he who sent you the circus tickets anonymously. Tomorrow he will take Sir Ralph to the circus and your reign will be over and René's will begin. But not for long. Oh, no, not for long. In Act Three, Sir John, that's Crookshank, disposes of René in his turn. There is something quite Shakespearean about Privet. Aren't you reminded a little of Richard III?
No.
Well, that's because you haven't read the whole play. You don't begin to understand why Sir John is intent on breaking up every relationship Sir Ralph has, and yet it's explained quite clearly in Act One. Surely you've read the beginning of Act One. Why, it comes just before your first scene. You must have read it.
No.
Incredible. You've simply read the parts where you have something to say.
Yes.
By God, I'd replace you. But it would upset Sir Ralph. He hates changes. Now, do listen carefully. What happens after yes? You move slowly across stage to door right. Sir Ralph says, where are you going? You don't answer. Go on. Move slowly. Sir John, teasing me, is only going to wash his paws, aren't you, Hobbs? Now you stop in the doorway where you are now. You are now about to speak the most dramatic line Privet has given you. You must milk it for all it's worth. You turn back to the room and the two old men. Everyone wonders what you are going to say. Privet indicates long pause. That's where you went wrong yesterday. You hardly paused at all. You've got to develop an actor's sixth sense here. You must feel the suspense in the audience. You are the center of attention. You must break the silence and speak only just before they grow impatient. Now, go on. You feel the moment has come. Speak!
Yes!
No! No, damn you, it's no!
No?
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. It was no originally, but I remember now Privet altered it. He said no was too obvious, and it spoilt your re-entrance when you come in wearing the bowler hat and carrying your suitcase, and Sir John says in his silky, sneery way, I think you're seeing the last of Hobbs, and Cyril says, you aren't leaving.
Yes.
No, you say nothing. You walk out. You don't say yes, you don't say no. Surely you can remember that.
Yes.
I hope to God you remember on the first night. Look. Look, young man, I still believe I can make an actor out of you. Sit down in that chair and I'll try to explain to you what Privet's play is about. You don't understand Sir John's motivation.
No.
Or his relationship with Sir Ralph?
No.
Just before you return from the circus, the two old men have a very moving scene together. They are sitting, as we are sitting now, when they are remembering their past, their first meeting at school, when Sir Ralph was Sir John's fag. As you were, it was Sir John who was Sir Ralph's fag. Their love for each other dates from that time, and Sir John's jealousy. He couldn't bear Sir Ralph's friendship with any other boy. They can both laugh at it now, of course, but we detect behind Cummings' laughter, I mean Crookshanks, that is to say Sir John's, the jealousy which still lurks there. Sir John plays on the fact that Hobbs is not returned to dinner. He makes Sir Ralph uneasy, for Sir Ralph is deeply attached to you, of course. I mean, Cummings is. Well, perhaps not so very deeply, but in the next act we see him in love with René, the French acrobat, and the French acrobat then deceives him with Sir John for money. It all comes out because of a handkerchief with Guerlain's scent on it. Like in Othello, the handkerchief betrays it all. Oh, I told you Privet is quite Shakespearean in his ideas. Have you followed me this far?
Yes.
The last act is very, very bleak indeed. Sir Ralph has quarrelled with Sir John, as we all of us think, irrevocably. Sir Ralph is alone, as it were, in the desert created around him by Sir John. A window cleaner comes to the house, a young, good-looking man with manners above his station. He breaks a pane of glass and cuts his hand. Sir Ralph bandages it with the very handkerchief that had belonged to the French acrobat. He says, very tenderly, I can't tell you how very, very moving Sir Ralph is at this moment, "Poor boy." There is a long, long pause, perhaps the longest pause Privet has ever given us. Sir Ralph's eyes are full of unshed tears, and I can assure you they will be there unshed every night and every matinee, even if we play for a year. Wonderful, wonderful, Sir Ralph. The door left opens. Who is it? Sir Ralph is bent over the bandage. He raises the window cleaner's wounded hand to his lips. We see that it is Sir John who has returned. Sir John sees the window cleaner. He says only one word. Ralph! I mean, Cyril! And the curtain falls. What a play! What an author! What actors! So think, young man, that you can be one of them if you'd only learn your lines. You will be on the stage, taking the applause with them between the window cleaner and the French acrobat. Young man, can't you realize now that the whole success of the play may depend on your getting your yes and no right? Can't you see how important your part is?
Yes. And no.